A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Conte's here to save the day, and we all want more World Cups. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday, the 26th of October. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
One day I'm going to find a way to lock the document so that hilarious changes can never be made. How are you guys doing?
Were you the victim of hilarious changes?
Yeah. I'm always a victim of hilarious changes, yeah.
The Will Ferrell of the Football Ramble, that's you.
That's me. I actually prefer to channel Partridge, personally. How are you doing? How is your? Who are you channeling today, Jim?
I'm just channeling myself.
Oh, right.
It's just easier, isn't it?
I guess it depends how you feel about yourself inside.
To be honest, I don't want to pull on that thread. Should we move on?
I'm channeling Georges Mensch, so
really?
we can pick Manchester United a new coach, even though they've currently still got one.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
It's very disrespectful, apparently, but we're going to do it.
It's disrespectful, but it happens.
Yes, it does happen, doesn't it? It's like, I really thought, watching the game at the weekend, like, oh, it's a shame I'm not going to get to talk about this, not being on Monday, but it was so seismic that
Tuesday.
Here we still are.
It's, yeah, every
it's
day,
unreal.
Probably.
It so like Thursday's the new Friday, Tuesday's the new Monday.
Very much so, yeah. If such a seismic event happens at the weekend, I think that's the case. I'm still sort of shell-shocked from watching that game. There is this real sense that Liverpool just sort of took their feet off the gas as well, off the gas.
Well, I'm quite annoyed about that. So
yeah, I know, right? They could have racked up a bigger score. I think a lot of Liverpool fans are probably like, oh, what?
Maybe they were showing them respect.
Maybe. But I feel like it's such an interesting point we're at now with Solskjaer. It's because obviously he finished second last year. There seem to be signs of improvement. And I remember saying at the back end of last season, despite that, it looked like it was more likely that the teams below them would improve and catch up rather than them going on to take that extra step and actually go on and win the league. And that looks to have come true very early. I mean, it's early days, of course, but the idea that Man United are going to go on and win the league from this position with Solskjaer in charge is absolutely fanciful. So it's interesting to me how quickly that has happened. And I think it puts so much into a stark, harsh light, doesn't it? I think when you look at the playing style, which has come under a lot of criticism, you feel like at a club like Man United with the standards they expect, you need a top-level manager, and you need a top-level manager that essentially either has their own style, like has created their own style in the way that Klopp has with the gegenpress and Pep has with tiki-taka, and obviously they've both adapted those style, or you adapt what is considered to be Man United style, which he's done a little bit, I suppose, with the cut and thrust of the kind of counter-attacking that they do. You kind of adapt that to the modern era, but he hasn't really done that, has he? He's just employed very basic kind of, you know, off-the-shelf counter-attack tactics. And you think, if he's not done either of those things at this point, what's he really doing there? It just seems a waste of everyone's time, really.
So you are calling for his head, much like Luke did yesterday.
No, I think he's becoming...
Disrespect.
He's becoming an embarrassment to Man United now.
Woo!
Look, you got Alex Ferguson looking really angry in the ground.
Like, he does do that, though.
This is Luke wearing a gym mask. This is amazing.
That's
look,
why
he's
he
devaluing
moved the conversation
the shares
on.
With every embarrassing post-match interview.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear you say that you feel as though Liverpool should have pushed on and got more, because obviously... Arsene Wenger famously didn't feel that, did he, when Manchester United showed your boys what real football is?
Absolutely, yeah. But I'd have wanted Arsenal to do the same in that situation. I'd have preferred them to go and get eight rather than slack off at five. Sadly, didn't have the option, but there you go.
Well, with all of this in mind, specifically Antonio Conte is throwing his hat into the ring around this Ole Gunnar Solskjaer situation.
I love the quote about he is open to understanding the project.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all open to understanding the project and have been for a while.
Is that like a meta dig, do you think?
Maybe. I think the idea that he would be interested in understanding the project. Understanding is not the first word I would use for Antonio Conte. Imposing, maybe, is the first verb I would use for Antonio Conte. And that, surely, is what they want. I mean, of course, Gary Neville touched on, you know, they don't want to go back to Mourinho or Van Gaal. The big personality didn't work for them before. But I think there are two things. One, football has moved on since then.
Yeah.
Two, Manchester United's squad has moved on since then. And it's a win now kind of squad.
Yeah.
Also, I think you look at what happened with Chelsea. And a couple of people sent in and tweets and bits of mail saying, oh, you know, Andy predicted Chelsea would win the Champions League when Frank Lampard was still in charge. It's like, well, yeah, because look at the squad.
Yeah, I think this is similar, right?
To an extent, yeah. I think you think that about Manchester.
Don't know why you sound like you're United, mocking your supporters there, Brass.
No, I'm mocking myself.
Oh, right, fair enough.
Actually, I'm saying it wasn't that much of a leap.
Please do continue.
Because I think... That squad, that, like as Luke was saying yesterday, it's not perfect, but it's still an amazing squad. It's an absolutely stacked squad. And I think the idea of you get someone in who's got identity, who's got no emotional ties, as Chelsea did with Thomas Tuchel. And let's be honest, Antonio Conte's got a far more illustrious history in coaching than Tuchel. You come in. I mean, there's a possibility of something.
You can hit the ground running.
This season is not unsalvageable.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's interesting that people talk about the few people that are still kind of back in Solskjaer, really, points to the lack of the defensive midfielder or that really imposing midfielder to, you know, be in there with Fred or McTominay or, you know, some variation other than that. But it's like, so you can't judge Solskjaer until he has an absolutely perfect squad.
Yeah.
In which every position is completely world class. I mean, it's like, I mean, that seems very generous.
Yeah, there's still and the wicked whispers coming out of United is that some players are beginning to consider whether Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is productive to their professional careers.
Does that mean only some players are paying attention
to
what is happening?
And I think
the rest of them are simply docile.
Yeah. Well, too busy with Fortnite.
The thing is, as well,
that's no bad thing.
You're talking about the squad, and this is just an extension on what we've already spoken about, which is that the point about these other coaches, the Guardiolas, the Tuchels, I don't know, I'm speaking about them in the plural, but they don't really exist in the plural. There's probably five. Conte is probably top five coaches in the world in European football. Would you say? It feels like in terms of ability to. Well, the job he said the job he did at Inter was the hardest job he's done. And the point is about Solskjaer is that back in the day, if you just had better players than the other team, then you'd be able to win. Hooray. Whereas
what
now,
what was the hardest
people,
bit for Conte at Inter? Was it where they bought Hakimi or was it where they bought Lukaku?
He had to make those things happen.
Carry on.
But you know what I'm talking about.
He did. And he does.
And that is the point, really.
That is exactly the point.
You need someone who can take things by the scruff rather than have things happen to him.
Yeah. I think the only I mean, there are some people, Gary Neville included, saying that Conte might not be the right fit. And I think the arguments against are that his European record is surprisingly kind of patchy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think perhaps United need to think about their league form as a priority before that. But also, he doesn't tend to stick around long, does he?
No.
And Man United still seem... Exactly. Man United seem committed to the idea that you want to get a manager in for at least a relatively long term, even within the context of modern football, but which is admirable.
It is admirable, but it's just an admission that we're still not over Sir Alex Ferguson, isn't it? Who appoints a coach and thinks he's going to be our coach for the next 6 or 7
gotta
years?
You've got to earn it.
You can't think like that. Exactly. You can't think like that.
The other problem seems to be as well the lack of experience in the first team coaches. If you look at Michael Carrick, I think we touched on him yesterday, but look at Michael Carrick and Kieran McKenna, and these are guys who haven't held such senior roles in their career before, obviously. You know, they've been impressive outside of this. The director of football is Darren Fletcher. He, you know, that sense that a structure is coming in. But can you imagine these guys telling Ronaldo that he's got to press or whatever? It just doesn't seem like that would work very well.
No, also, he can't.
Great point. Yeah, so he won't listen. And also, he's not going to think that's a great idea.
They're not going to buy him a Segway, is what we agreed on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably not allowed at this point, is it?
I think exceptions could be made for Cristiano, personally. Yeah. A lot of other exceptions are made for Cristiano. Yeah,
that's true. So, yeah, were you seriously undermining the Conte job at Inter? Or were you just being slightly wry about the kind of man he is?
No, I mean, to eventually take the title off, Juventus is very impressive indeed. Mm. And, you know, he might
after
have...
9 years.
And he might have done it in the first season, had the pandemic not interrupted things.
Yeah. But he did also take Chelsea from 10th to win the title.
Yeah, that's right. That when he took over Juventus, they'd finished 7th the previous season, and then they were unbeaten and won the title in his first season. Look, I think this argument, undermining my own argument slightly here. I was just having a bit of snark at him, but realistically, when people say, "Oh well, let's see that person managing Morecambe or Accrington Stanley," it's never going to happen, and it's an irrelevant point. You know, most coaches are for certain levels, and that's the way it is. At the level he is, there are a few better than him.
Yeah, yeah, all right. Someone else who's been linked is Erik ten Hag, but he is apparently having a lovely time Ajax. Zinedine Zidane is not remotely interested. That's written in the running order. I don't know if that's a direct quote.
He's getting himself in the queue for France eventually.
Yeah,
fine, fair enough.
That makes sense. I think he'd only manage Juventus or France otherwise, and I have no reason for thinking that. I just like to think that would be the case because he's such a Zidane purist, being, of course, Zidane.
Yeah, you're very much a Campbell purist, aren't you?
Exactly, yeah.
Except today he's Luke.
So, I mean, they've got to be looking for a solution, right? Whether it's Conte or Ten Hag. I think because obviously last season...
I don't know why you're saying that.
Because they finished second last season and they got to a European final, right?
Yeah, but so they seem to be completely blinded.
It would have been really harsh to sack him last season. But now...
No, but it's the wrong European final.
No, but right. But for
Manchester United, isn't it?
Quite. But the point I'm going to make is that like it would actually have been really, really harsh to sack him last season because he did seem to have turned things around from how it looked like it was going to go so many times.
The world of Premier League football.
Yeah. But now it's sliding back into that situation where it's like, oh, clearly we're not going to progress under Oli, so we need to just make a decision soon.
You have to make the tough decisions. It's already neglect to make it get this bad before you consider. And they haven't made a decision at the time of recording, as we always have to say on the Football Ramble. But you know, to get to that point is neglect already. I'm saying Glazers, Posh, Mike Ashley. That's what I'm saying. They just want an easy life.
Shall we move on to a club with a glorious and progressive future and talk about who's being linked to the Newcastle United job next, Brass? I've got
Antonio Conte, Erik ten Hag.
I think to be serious about the Newcastle job, because obviously we did that Patreon, didn't we, where we made up, you know, people who are GIFs who are going to be playing in goal for them. Yeah. But the point being that, you know, all of these fantasy United lineups are not based in reality because fundamentally they're involved in a relegation scrap. And even if you look at Manchester City, they weren't able to just hire their main guy. They had to build a system and build a whole, you know, hire the whole of Catalonia in order to encourage Pep Guardiola to think he'd have a nice time there and things would work. So they've obviously, there's a next step. There might even be two next steps.
I think there are. Yeah.
So we're not talking about, in terms of managers, we're not talking about Conte realistically or those kind of guys. But there are some really intriguing, what's fun about this is that there are some intriguing managers who perhaps we would never really talk about on the normal ramble, who can then be linked with. Imagine if Newcastle United had like a good and structured approach to picking their managers. So yeah, the main one is obviously Paulo Fonseca, who's not an unusual name for this, given that he's been linked with Tottenham. But there's all sorts, I mean, think about people like Leonardo Jardim. Where's he been? Some of the youngsters as well. I wanted to ask you about Vincenzo Italiano.
Who's having a great time at the moment at Fiorentina.
Yeah. But are these realistic? You know, these are people we want to look at because they're interesting. And The Athletic's done a great piece on all sorts like this.
A lot of them, I don't want to say they should just go and get Sam Allardyce all over again.
God.
But having said that, I think a lot of these names, and I think to an extent I would include Paulo Fonseca in that, of fantasy football names. You know, we want to appoint a coach with a philosophy, with style that's going to excite the fans. Before you get to that point, you need to avoid relegation.
I think they know that though, right?
But do they? Because if they're going to appoint Paulo Fonseca, I think it's a bit of a punt. And I'm not talking about him not having coached in the Premier League before, but he wants to play a certain type of football that I'm not convinced he can play with this squad.
Yeah.
So I think that's hard. Like, say the Lucien Favre possibility, that makes sense to me because he picked up Borussia Mönchengladbach when they were rooted to the bottom of the table, nailed on for getting relegated, and created a style, got them away from relegation, next season got them in the Champions League, which again, I'm not saying is a possibility at Newcastle United, but that is more of the thing they're looking at. If you've got a coach who can do a two-stage job, that makes sense. I'm not convinced Fonseca can do that.
Which, is Roy Hodgson a silly suggestion?
It's not a terrible suggestion, I suppose.
Because you know that he's not for the long term, but he can do an impressive job as he did at Palace.
That actually, on paper, if he would want to do it, because he did say as he left Palace, he doesn't know whether it would be his last job or not. Mm. So that would make sense. I don't think it'd be popular, but it would be a very, very shrewd choice because it is so important for them to just stay up, isn't it?
Yeah.
They get relegated. It's actually not the end of the world and it would be fascinating, but it's a setback they don't want.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
It would.
Sorry,
as a neutral.
With respect, Newcastle
fans. But even as Newcastle fans, they know they'd probably come straight back up and then it would just set them back a little bit.
But it would also be a massive effort to get relegated in this season's Premier League.
Yeah, it would.
Because I think there are a lot of not great teams down there, I would suggest. But the problem is at the moment that for Newcastle, we're discussing coaches when we should be discussing directors of football now. He's not coming. if they could persuade Marc Overmars, I think that's interesting, particularly medium term. But what they don't have at the moment is a football structure and football philosophy. And a lot of that's been put on the new owners that they don't have a clue. There's no one with football experience up there. But it's like, well, really is like Mike Ashley got to the club and realised that the financial hole left by Freddie Shepherd, etc., was a lot deeper than he anticipated. Yeah. I suspect they're getting to the club and thinking, shit, he's stripped everything back, left it in charge of a few people, and there is no football structure.
Yeah.
So that is something that they are having to deal with. And, you know, if you can, in the short term, that makes it complicated, I think, to appoint the right coach.
Yeah, we'll continue to dig into the potentials as time goes on. Probably for the rest of the week, Russ. I want to hear more about Francesco Farioli, but maybe we'll save that for another day. Now, just before we get to the break, a bit of sad news. Just before we came on air, Walter Smith, the significant Rangers legend, obviously former assistant coach at Manchester United, has died today at the age of 73. He won 21 trophies in his career, second only at the club behind, this is Rangers we're talking about, the club behind Bill Struth, and won 7 successive titles. He also was the Scotland boss. So sad news we were hearing just this morning.
Yeah, an absolute giant in Scottish football, as well as helping out Sir Alex Ferguson for that short little time at Manchester United. But if you think, he straddles two spells of Rangers as well, of course, being part of that 9 in a row and then coming back for a couple more titles later. So yeah, an incredible servant to Rangers and Scottish football.
Real sad loss. And we pay our respects to his family. All right, let's take a short break now and we'll be back the other side.
Hold up.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This is Detective Abberline.
Hearing you, Abberline. Go ahead.
We've got the body of a male on Durwood Street, Whitechapel, just behind the Tube, a Mark Allen Nichols. His throat has been cut, a stab wound below his shoulder blade, and,
Continue, please, Detective.
Yeah, she's cut off his knob and put his bollocks in the recycling bins.
Stack presents a thrilling new audio fiction.
She cut his throat, unbollocked the guy, and decocked him for good measure.
The body of a man brutally murdered in Whitechapel was discovered this morning.
That was Jackie's way. Evil, bloodthirsty, sexually explicit, and just, yeah, just bloody horrible, really. Step into the scene. Me, yours truly, moi, that's, me, lead detective, Freddie Abberline of Scotland Yard.
There is a man next to us who has been brutally murdered and dismembered.
We'll go and find his member then. Jesus Christ. Oh, but we've kept his AirPods in, I see. What's he listening to? Death metal? Zombie Nation?
Follow me as I hunt the most vicious serial killer known to man.
Good Lord, she stuffed his eye sockets with his own bollocks.
Jackie the Ripper. The infamous Whitechapel murders. Retold. By the makers of The Offensive. Available now on all podcast platforms.
Sorry, Sally, I got your shoes. Oh, it's my Wagamama from earlier. Let's have a closer look.
Looks like noodles.
Nope, him.
Jackie the Ripper. Hold on to your bollocks.
In football, you've worked with and alongside some of the biggest names in the game, some of the biggest coaches you've come up against as well. Who's been your biggest influence in your coaching career?
I think myself.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Andy and Jim today. I wasn't sure if that was going to be the Brendan Rodgers one or the Jose Mourinho, but...
The pause makes it every time.
The pause makes it, like he's really considering the matter.
Mm.
Time for some emails. More considered matters from the listeners.
A This is one from Cody Barrett. Hello, Ramblers. Long-time listener and emailer. Never fucking once got a mention on the show, but we're still here.
Here you are, Cody.
That's the best opening to an email I think we've ever had. On Monday's Ramble, Kate was wondering whether Jose Mourinho would be able to step onto an NHL ice rink and be able to knee slide with normal dress pants on. Mm. Being from the great state of hockey, Minnesota, I feel obligated to enlighten her. If Moose steps onto the ice just after it has been Zambonied.
That's the like the kind of like, I don't even know what you'd describe it as. Those little truck machines. Things that like go around the ice.
Okay.
To make it all...
Is it like where they flatten the square with the roller in cricket?
Essentially, yeah.
Right, okay. Anyway, if Moose steps onto the ice just after it has been Zambonied, it's more or less frictionless and he absolutely could slide as far as he wanted to.
Wow.
Like that Plymouth goal celebration the other week. Yeah. However, after about 2 minutes of the players being on it, it gets very snowy and chipped up by the skate blades, meaning there's more friction and any knee slide would result in Iron Robin-esque knee slide failure and deep bruises.
Yeah, you don't. There's nothing like an ice rink bruise, is there, on the knees? Ugh.
I don't know. Why did we get to the point of Mourinho doing a knee slide anyway?
Because he did that in...
But he's in his 50s.
Yeah, but he's not... He lives out-of-body experiences as day-to-day life,
but did you see his run towards the fans after that Roma winner against... I think it was... I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And I think if you did a split screen of that and Old Trafford in 2004, I don't think it would be flattering. Even though he's like wearing a coat at Old Trafford that was probably about as heavy as a bear.
Mm. I don't remember it seeming particularly wonky, or was it just quite slow?
Not the same level of pace. He's lost half a yard, basically, is what we're saying.
Justin Griffith has also been in touch. He says, I'm emailing you about my and your favourite United Soccer League championship team, Tuffy Schellenberger's Pittsburgh Riverhounds SC. I was watching my beloved Hounds last week as they played Miami FC, a huge game between the third and fourth place teams in the conference, when something very weird happened. In a 0-0 game, Miami were awarded a free kick deep in their own half. The player places the ball down and takes a quick free kick to his teammate, who then passes it back to the keeper, who was thinking about other stuff, and just sort of lets the ball rolled past him into his own net. Pretty standard stuff so far for the second tier of American soccer, except what happens next is the keeper starts complaining about something, so the refs confer, and somehow the decision they arrive at is to award the Riverhounds a corner kick. Not a goal, not a retake of the free kick, a corner. The game ends 0-0 thanks to a truly astonishing refereeing decision. A decision so bad that the USL is forcing the two teams to replay the game, starting in the 67th minute with the Hounds up 1-0. The subsequent press release featured the following line. In this instance, the match officials applied a law that unequivocally did not match the events on the field, and the ruling on the field exceeded the reasonable degree of human error that is inherently part of the game, said USL President Jake Edwards. I don't know why people don't take our league seriously. That is astonishing. That might be the worst refereeing decision I've ever heard of. If you've got anything that comes anywhere near that, show at footballramble.com, because that is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely right. That's so baffling. Like, I just wish we could have been listening to the conversation that led to that, because that suggests to me someone's got a big personality.
Yeah, oh, massively. Someone has just been absolutely like just steamrolled there in conversation. How do you give a corner?
I'm trying to think straight away. Maybe if they thought the free kick went straight back to the goalkeeper and that there wasn't another touch in between. I mean, it's a Stuart Atwell at Watford moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Abysmal.
As Jim says, write in, tell us more, show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Now, it looks as though this double World Cup every 4 years thing is over. Do we think that?
Well,
FIFA's fever dream maybe in this specific instance is not going to happen exactly like that, because Gianni Infantino didn't commit to announcing a vote on the proposals in December. The way he was framing it out was not just that there would be two World Cups in every four-year cycle, but that maybe not the same teams would participate.
Yeah, so he's not... seems like he's not having a vote on the biennial World Cup because he's thought of a worse idea and he wants to explore that. Like that absolute lizard behaviour, that is. Yeah, we'll have more World Cups, but you won't have every team competing
in
them.
Well, fundamentally, that's just they're turning something that is a World Cup into something that's not.
It's not a World Cup. Absolutely, it becomes an exhibition.
Why don't you just have a World Cup every day?
Yeah, why not?
With all
yeah,
and then just one team,
around.
Or maybe just two teams in each World Cup.
Yeah,
and then you can alternate. Everyone can win.
I mean, it is forgotten that the idea is meant to separate, you know, the best two teams in the world, and then have them play it out. It's like they've forgotten what competition is.
Or maybe he knows it's a terrible idea and he's simply using it as a Trojan horse for something else, like an expanded club World Cup.
Yes, which they're doing that anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, and of course there's the fact that UEFA was getting quite a lot of its national associations to say, right, we're not having that, let's leave FIFA. Which obviously leaves Infantino in not the legacy building position he wants to be in. Because that's what it's all about, isn't it?
So he's actually been quite a clever brass.
I'm not sure I'd go that far.
Devious?
Yes.
Okay. Watch this space, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he said about the biennial World Cup, I've heard some critical comments. I have heard many enthusiastic comments as well.
It's you fucking
you
haven't.
You surrounded yourself with yes men, Gianni. Yeah. Like, of course you have.
Also, talking of legacy,
yeah,
I think he's already trashed his legacy of who was a like very jolly man when he used to do the Champions League draws. I really enjoyed those.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think maybe the message to him aside, but we're about to talk about Beckham as well, is maybe after you've done football, just forget it. No more football. Yeah. Go and do something. Get involved even just in some other sport. Don't tarnish yourself. Yeah. He's going to be announced or has been announced, David Beckham, as a Qatar 2022 ambassador. The Qatar Stars League, or whoever it is in charge of this latest bit of marketing, said that it's categorically not true that he's been paid 150 million pounds to do that. So perhaps he hasn't been. But anyway, he's been in Qatar and he's going to be the face of next year's World Cup.
Yeah, it's a real contrast between the sort of marketable generation of stars of a generation ago, such as David Beckham, and the current players. Like, can you imagine any of our current England squad doing that? They're so much more socially conscious and so much more aware of the optics of these sort of things. And perhaps in some cases that's cynical, but I don't believe it to be. Like, you wouldn't have Raheem Sterling doing this. You know what I mean? It just seems...
But we don't know in 20 years what the Raheem Sterling equivalent.
Well, no, we absolutely don't. But I choose to believe that these players are, of you know, are a bit more aware than that. And, I'm just more impressed with them in comparison to this. Really.
And not every player is Raheem Sterling as well.
No, of course.
I think we have
Rashford,
to say that.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a little disappointing.
Wasn't he great when he was just endorsing sarongs?
Yeah, and pants and things like that.
I would say Gibril Cissé did it better. But, you know, each their own, I suppose. I think... The weird thing, he doesn't need the money. I mean, does he really believe this thing about
people love money, though, don't they?
The power of football to inspire positive change. I mean,
I think that might be the slogan.
That implies a lot of heavy lifting by Beckham. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe he does intend to challenge, the country on human rights and the persecution of gay people and. Like the methods of construction of the stadiums and all that sort of stuff, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah,
but isn't the
idea that they are going to pay him to do that to them? Seems a little fanciful.
Well, no. Once you're in, you're in. Really, I think if you're the face of Qatar and you're shaking hands and having a lovely time with all that. I mean, the hospitality is great.
It's implied. there's implied endorsement.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and we've seen that already, haven't we, with Xavi, who every time he opens his mouth about non-footballing philosophy matters, it's so disappointing. It's so disappointing.
He's been living there for some time now, Xavi.
Yeah, there's a bit of Stockholm syndrome there, for sure.
He's the head coach of Al Sadd, one of the Qatar Stars League teams. It's so interesting, the idea of him using that as his platform to then be to learn to coach and become then Barcelona manager. He's turned it down twice now. Anyway, but the Amnesty UK CEO has urged Beckham to learn about the human rights situation in the country and to be prepared to comment on it. And I thought it was sort of interesting hearing about this in the context of, did you guys see the Crystal Palace banner at the Newcastle game at the weekend, where it was like a checklist of things that are associated with Saudi, or that in fact, occur in Saudi, like beheadings. And it was someone apparently reported it to the police, but there's no case to answer. So it's really interesting. That's the Holmesdale Fanatics, a Crystal Palace fan group. And I just thought it's interesting in the context of someone like David Beckham, who you think of having a massive platform, who can, and he could say anything. People would listen to pretty much anything he had to say. And him, let's see, as you say, we don't know what he's going to do with this platform.
But very much like Zinedine Zidane, he's come a very long way without
agreed
on the back of saying nothing.
And really, then you compare it to maybe this like small little Palace fan group who are trying to take a stand and putting out really strong statements about the situation with the Newcastle deal. And you know, whatever you think about what's right and what's wrong in Premier League ownership, I just thought it was really kind of impressive that either way they were taking a stand with the small opportunity that they had.
It was, and the Holmesdale Fanatics have done like an incredible thing already, really, in transforming a rundown stadium into one of the most atmospheric ones in the Premier League. It's absolutely astonishing, particularly in a modern Premier League context, and you have to applaud them for that. But to do something that goes beyond the atmosphere in the stadium is fantastic, particularly in an era when, you know, a lot of fans, I don't really think, want the hassle of thinking about stuff particularly hard that's off the pitch. And like I said before, I do think it is fans' job to constantly question the people who are running your club, because otherwise that's how you sleepwalk into footballing and institutional disaster. And when you take your eye off the ball, I think it's really important.
More absolutely football tonight. Right. The League Cup returns. Chelsea go up against Southampton. Arsenal versus Leeds. Don't forget, guys, and I'm sad that we missed it at the time or didn't dig into it in great detail, these ties were picked out by Micah Richards and Harry Redknapp at the Potton Bowls Club in Bedfordshire.
How does it rate amongst bowls clubs in terms of prestigiousness?
Well, now I would say quite highly.
I don't know why I'm looking at you and asking you.
It's the only one I've ever heard of, so it must be pretty good.
Yeah. I'm not 58, but it was a thing. Apparently you could what was it? We were talking about, it was an Arsenal fan who managed to earn the right for his bowls club to have the draw there.
Okay.
58-year-old Arsenal fan, Gary Gunn.
Sounds like someone Marcus would make up.
What a bloody lad. Oh, shit. Are we sure he hasn't just made him up? Gary, write in, please.
Yeah,
I don't know if this is relevant to the Leeds potential performance tonight, but Marcelo Bielsa has apparently paid, do we believe this, £150,000 of his own money for a gym to be installed at Elland Road for staff to keep fit. Do we believe this? Gym?
I mean, it seems weird that they can't just use the players' gym. But yeah, who knows? He's a generous man. I'm sure there's reasons for it. I believe it. He's a details man, right?
He is.
Maybe
a
he's trying to get
man.
His staff into like
really,
into such
really
good
ripped.
Shape that like if he has an injury crisis, he can just like stick in a dinner lady.
Maybe he's trying to teach them to do the squat. You know, his like pitch side
glute
squat
training.
Oh, that's like, so hard. You can tell he's a man who trains.
It's very very impressive. I mean, like you said, he is a details guy. When he was at Athletic, he actually had a tape measure out to measure the exact width of the pitch and get the groundsman to get it to his total specification.
Wow.
To the centimetre.
It's seriously important, that stuff. Ask the Liverpool fans. Apparently, on the details, it's got pictures of the Yorkshire countryside all over the walls.
Oh.
And his wife designed it.
That sounds great.
Sounds more and more made up.
His wife is an architect, but by the way, it's not, you know...
She's not.
Do a picture of the Dales.
We've got coming up as well to look out for in the Chelsea-Southampton game, a couple of Chelsea Academy graduates who've got a bit of a point to prove. Tino Livramento and Armando Broja have been tearing it up lately at Southampton. Chance for Southampton to really shine. Luke will be pleased. All right then, guys, enjoy that stuff. Thanks for listening to the show. On tomorrow is Kate. No, me. It's me.
Wow.
It's me, it's Vish, and it's Pete. Thanks for hanging out, Jim. Nice to see you. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Brass.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll see you next time.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.